Seeking the Lord's help, we turn this afternoon to the book of the Deuteronomy, chapter 34. We read verse 5. The fifth verse of the 41st chapter in the book of the Deuteronomy. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there, in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And what a great man Moses was. How greatly he was used of the Lord in the bringing up of his people out of Egypt to the promised land of Canaan. He was born in troublous times, dark times for the children of Israel. They were oppressed, and the Pharaoh of that generation decreed that the little boys that were born should be thrown into the waters and drowned, seeking to bring to an end the children of Israel. And really it was Satan seeking to prevent the birth of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ all those centuries later. In natural way of thinking, Moses could easily have died 120 years before this. In which time Moses was born. But God wonderfully preserved that young life because he had a purpose for this babe which none could defeat, none could derail, none could prevent. So Moses must live, he must survive. And he must be brought up in the strangest of circumstances. Who would have thought a Jewish babe would be brought up in the court of Pharaoh? Which was the preparation in part for the task the Lord had ahead of him to lead the children of Israel. It would have been in Pharaoh's court that he would have been taught to read and to write. It would have been in Pharaoh's court he would have been given the best education available at that time in the world. Then when he's 40 years old, after spending 40 years in Pharaoh's court, and realizing that God did not intend him to live in Pharaoh's court all his life, or to lead the Egyptian nation, some point in those 40 years, we're not told when, God had revealed to Moses that it was to be he that was to lead the children of Israel. But when he puts his own hand to it, what disaster occurs? He kills the Egyptian and buries him in the sand. The children of Israel were not ready to receive him. They weren't ready to be led. Moses was not ready to lead. And he had to flee for his life, and for 40 years he had to live in the backside of the desert with those sheep. 40 long years. And then the word of the Lord must have tried him. Was his exercise right? If so, why was he where he was? But they weren't 40 wasted years. The Lord had things to teach him in those 40 years in the wilderness, that it was not his will to teach him in those 40 years that he had spent in Pharaoh's palace. And beloved friends, if the Lord is going to teach you in the wilderness you will go and you'll stay there until you have learned the lessons the Lord intends you to learn there. And then you'll be brought out. You won't come out one day before God intends you to do so. But neither will you stay one day longer. But it was in that wilderness that God revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush. That bush which burned, not an unusual sight in the land of Israel at that time. Bushes were always catching on fire because of the hot climate. But the difference with this bush was it was not consumed. It remained green and blossoming. And there the Lord met with Moses. And there the Lord revealed himself to Moses as the God of Israel. There Moses met with him and learned that he was his God. And he wasn't so ready to go in the Lord's service, was he? When the Lord's time came, 40 years earlier, he thought he was ready and willing and able. But those 40 years in the wilderness had humbled him. Had taught him patience, had taught him his limitations, and made him dependent. And it was when he felt his dependence the most that God sent him forth into his service to lead the children of Israel. Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. The Lord prepares his instruments and his servants whom he will use. And first of all, he will make them dependent upon him. And he will remind them again and again of their dependence upon him. And then he will say, "Now therefore go, and I will be with thy lips, and teach thee what thou shalt say." And when the Lord says go, you've got to go. Go dependent upon him, and he will teach you what you will say in that hour. It was to Moses that the Lord said, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee in the way." And he then proved it in the 40 years that followed. And beloved friends, you're going to prove it too in the path that the Lord has for you. You're going to need his goodness, and you're going to need all of it. You're going to need grace. You're going to need strength. You're going to need humility. You're going to need mercy. You're going to need pardon. You are going to need wisdom. The Lord's promise to you this afternoon is, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee." How was he with Moses? "I will make all my goodness pass before thee in the way." Personally, he passed before the Lord. The Lord passed before Moses. And all the Lord's people will savingly and particularly and specially know of that goodness, of that grace, of that mercy, of that help. And especially those whom the Lord uses in his service. Moses was favored like no one else before or since to see the Lord face to face. We are told in verse 10 that there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Moses, it seems, of all of Adam's race, was permitted the closest of communion with God upon earth. But now we find him in the age of 120 years old. He had been the one, the instrument God had used to write these first five books of the Word of God. What a privilege to be privileged to write the beginning of the Holy Scripture. To Moses had been given the Ten Commandments to give to the children of Israel. To Moses it had been given these 40 years to guide them through this wilderness journey and to rule them. Like all of Adam's race, Moses was not indispensable. Here we find 120 years old, He didn't die of old age. His natural force was not abated. His eyes were not dim. In other words, he remained in full health and strength, as much health and strength as 40 years earlier when he had been sent to Pharaoh. As much health and strength as 40 years before that. He had first gone to the children of Israel. He died in a fullness of strength, but he still died. And why did he die? According to the word of the Lord. God rules and God reigns over every one of his creatures. We come into existence at his word. We live according to his word. And we will die according to his word. There may be second causes, and there usually are. There may be illness. There may be old age, weariness and weakness. There may be a so-called accident, and life will end. Here. But the first cause of every death is the word of the Lord. Moses could not die before this day, but he could not live one day afterwards, one hour afterwards, one moment afterwards, and nor will you, and nor will I. The day came. When the Lord spoke to Moses, like he'd never spoken before, Moses had known the Lord face to face. He'd heard him speak many wonderful things to him. But on this occasion, it was this. I can turn to it. And the Lord said unto Moses, behold, the days approach, thou must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation, that I may give you a charge. Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation, and the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in a pillar of a cloud. The pillar of the cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle. The Lord spake unto Moses a few chapters later, that selfsame day, after Moses and Joshua had stood before the tabernacle, get thee up into this Mount Abraham, and to Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho. And behold, the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel for a possession, and die in the mount, whither thou goest up, and be gathered unto thy people as Aaron thy brother died in Mount Hor, was gathered unto his people, because she trespassed against me, against the children of Israel, among the children of Israel, at the waters of Meribah Kadesh, in the wilderness of sin, because she sanctified me not in the midst of the children of Israel. Yet thou shalt see the land before thee, but thou shalt not go thither unto the land which I give thee, children of Israel. Beloved friends, one day you will receive the same charge . Today thou shalt die, and nothing that you and I can do can prevent it when the Lord sends out that message, that command. We may have never obeyed him before. We may have ignored his word before, but we will not ignore that word. Thou shalt die. And it is appointed unto men once to die, and after death the judgment. Not annihilation. Not dreamless sleep. Judgment. After death, you and I must stand before the judgment seat of God, before the immediate holy presence of God, whose eyes are as a flame of fire, which can pierce through and see into the very depths of our hearts and souls and minds. He sees what you're thinking even now. And there we will be judged. And from that throne will come that eternal sentence. Either come, ye blessed. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Or depart, ye cursed, into everlasting fire and punishment. With Moses, this message of the Lord to die was a welcome message. It didn't catch him unawares. It was welcome because he was prepared. He was ready to die, because he had been given grace here below to prepare him for this moment. But what will it be with you and me when that day comes? As come it will. It may be many long years yet. You can't avoid it forever. It may be this very day. If it was today that you and I were to have this message that Moses had, get up into the mount and die there, how would we stand? Would we welcome it? Or would it be the very worst of messages we could ever be given? Death will end all our natural plans for this earth. Death will end forever everything that is of the flesh. We will be parted from our possessions. We will be parted from our families and friends. We will be parted from our money. We will be parted from all our natural religion. Will we have anything left? The door of death will either be the realization of a good hope through grace, or the end of all hope forever. For Moses, the servant of the Lord, this was a day when all his troubles ended forever. There's no more trouble in heaven. This was a day when all his wilderness journey of his busy life ended. All his cares and concerns for the children of Israel ended. This was a day when he ceased to be a sinner, child of God. You who do have a good hope through grace. What a blessed prospect this is. One of the blessings that death will bring to you is it will part you from your sins forever. And there in heaven, no longer a sinner, you will be holy as the Holy One. And you will be able to worship and adore your God as he should be worshipped and as you long to worship him. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. Now Moses was a type. Moses was a type of the law. God, in his sovereignty, ordained that he would give the law through Moses. He revealed it to him on Mount Sinai. And Moses brought down that law to the people. And the fact that Moses died in fullness of strength and in clear vision reminds us, friends, this. When you and I come down to die, the law of God and the eye of God will still be in the same full strength, with the same clear vision, with the same power, the same holy demands as they were in the days of our youth and strength. You will never get to the promised land, to the heavenly Canaan, under the law. The holy law of God is simple. Do this and live. Give a perfect obedience consistently in every aspect of your life, in every day of your life, no matter what circumstance, whether it be joy or trouble, sorrow or peace, in every action, every word and every thought, and you will live. But fail just once, and you will die. Fail just once. Disobey God's law just once, even if it be just in your thought. and all sin begins with a thought. And you will never get to heaven by obeying the law of God. That is how perfect, how pure, how holy God is. And the circumstances of Moses' death is a witness to us all these generations later. It is a sermon which says that under the law you will perish. Under the law you will die in Moab. You'll never get to heaven by seeking to get there, resting on your own works, because they are not perfect, because there is sin marred and mixed with each and every one of them. And therefore, that sin makes those works, it ruins them, it makes them unfit to present to God. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Doesn't mean the law of God has lost its force. Although you and I fell in the Garden of Eden in Adam, and although you and I, as a consequence of that, have lost the ability to obey God in the way he demands, that does not mean God has not lost the right to demand it. Because he made man capable of obeying him perfectly. And man deliberately rebelled. And in so doing, he lost that capability that he had to keep the law. But the demand is still there. And God hasn't withdrawn that demand either. Whether you and I acknowledge it or not, every sinner that is born into this world is born under the holy law of God. And the moment they are born, they come under its demands, its remit, its authority. And that authority lasts their entire life. Now, none of us have kept that law of God as it should be kept. And therefore, under the law, if we are under that law only, we must know death, rejection, after death, the condemnation of eternal hell and judgment. And it is a solemn thing to die under the law. The hymn says, speaking of the believer, in vain the fancy strives to paint the moment after death, the glories that surround the saints when yielding up their breath. And what glories they are. What precious things do they see and hear as they are ushered into the immediate presence of their Saviour and Lord and Redeemer. But who can paint the awfulness after death for the unbeliever? For the one who finds, after all, at the law of God justly demanded of him obedience, and the fact that he couldn't provide that obedience now means that there is a consequence, and that consequence is banishment from God. That consequence is eternal punishment. That consequence is eternal pain, no rest, no joy, no peace, no deliverance, no hope. solemn thing to contemplate. The greatest sting of hell is it is forever. No release. If it lasted 1,000,000 years, there would be hope. And those who dwelt there would step by step come nearer to that release date. But the scriptures tell us clearly that those who die under the law of God, their punishment will be forever. And if you die a stranger to Jesus Christ, that is where you will go. And although you will seek after rest, you will never find it. You'll seek after peace, you'll never find it. No prayer will ever be answered there. The name of Jesus cannot be pleaded there. How then is it that Moses could welcome this event, the end of his natural life, the beginning of eternity? Because, beloved friends, by grace, he had been taught to trust in the Saviour yet to come. That's why I read Joshua 1. The name Joshua means Saviour. The name of Jesus means Saviour. And so it is Joshua and not Moses that is permitted to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. And the type points to Jesus, that it is not under the law, not trusting in ourselves we will get to glory. It's trusting in Jesus Christ. Moses, by faith, looked forward. He had seen the Passover lamb and how it had to be perfect and without blemish and strong. He had seen how the blood had to be shed, and not only shed for it to do good, the blood had to be applied to the doors and the lintels where the children of Israel were in their houses in Egypt. He had seen the sin offerings which God had commanded him to institute. And by faith, he looked forward to Calvary. He wouldn't have had as clear a view as we do, but he had the same faith. By faith, we look back. Jesus Christ was sent into this world to save sinners. And he did that, first of all, by living under the law, the same law that you and I are born under. In his holy humanity, he was born under. And unlike you and me, he kept that law perfectly, consistently, purely, acceptably to the standard which God in his holy justice requires. And then, at the end of his life, God placed upon him the unpardoned sins of each and every one of his church, from Adam's day to the end of time. And although he himself had never sinned, he had no sin of his own, he came under condemnation for the sins of others. Behold, a scene of matchless grace. 'Tis Jesus in the sinner's place. Heaven's brightest glory sunk in shame, that rebels might adore his name. He sighed. He groaned. He sweat. He cried. Through awful floods he passed and died. All penal wrath to Zion due, infinite justice on him through. He came under condemnation, that the believer may have no condemnation when he comes down to die. To begin with, we quoted that text, "It is appointed unto men once to die, and after death the judgment." Moses and every child of God will be brought to the following verse. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation upon that cross. When Jesus died, the Father punished him to the fullest extent that his holy justice demanded for each and every sin that each and every child of God had committed. And he bore the full punishment, the complete weight. The Father did not go lenient on him. The stroke was not somehow lessened, it was the full stroke which justice demanded. The Father did not have mercy on his Son that he may show mercy to you, coming sinner. The Father did not deliver his Son that he may deliver you from the wrath to come. And Jesus drank that cup of wrath for love's sake. Right up, every drop, there's no drop left in that cup. And now he gives a cup of mercy and love to his people. This is the way God pardons a sinner. This is the way that Moses got to heaven. And this is the way that you and I will get to heaven, if we get there at all. Through the life and through the death of Jesus Christ. He died for many, not few, that none may despair, but not any, that none may presume. Seek this pardon. Seek this mercy that is found in Jesus. Do not presume. If you are a child of God, if you are given the grace that Moses was given, you will seek. You will knock. You will ask for pardon. You'll ask for mercy. You will ask for God to favor you. You will ask God to give you what you do not deserve. A free, full, and complete pardon. You'll value this pardon. You will value Jesus and the life and the death that he lived. And it is through him. That the spiritual Israel go over this Jordan of death into the promised land. And child of God, just as naturally Joshua led all the children of Israel safely, they all got over. Not a hoof was left behind. So low you may feel to be the worst, though you may feel to be the least in your father's house, though you may feel to be the greatest of sinners and the most unworthy, yet all those for whom Jesus died will get safe home to glory at last, will be safely landed. They'll have that safe passage over Jordan's river. And be landed safe in glory where Jesus is, to crown him Lord of all, to worship him, to thank him, to adore him, to praise him for all that he has done. So Moses, a servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And what a blessing will death prove. For those like Moses who by grace are led to flee to Jesus. The immediate presence of God. He's been precious to you by faith. He'd be much more precious to you when you see him by sight with your natural eye. By faith you've heard his voice, and it has been to you a most blessed voice. But how much more precious will that voice be when you hear it with your natural ear in the day of resurrection? How much more precious when you see him in all his beauty, and when you're made like unto him, no longer poor and needy, no longer a sinner in distress. But brought to his eternal kingdom, brought to that place of eternal rest, quietness and happiness, where there will be no more pain, no more suffering, no more tears and grief, no more darkness or distress, no more Satan to oppress, no more withdrawal of the Lord's presence. The clear shining, the full shining of the Sun of Righteousness. Friends, the believer can welcome this command to die because it is the home call. Come up higher. And so I end where I began. Will that be a welcome call for you and for me? Or will it be the end of all hope? It will be one or the other. The best of tidings or the worst of tidings? Friends, which will it be with you?